And good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Beautiful start here in central Wisconsin. Fair skies, up to 59 degrees. A bit of a chilly start when I came into work early this morning, but temperature has been rising nicely. Should be a fantastic day. But what about the weekend? What can we expect weather-wise for the weekend? Will it stay beautiful for this middle part of June? Want to find out? We're joined from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucheski. And Jennifer, again, boy, what a gorgeous way to start off our Friday and head towards the weekend. Can we expect more sunshine as we go into the rest of today and into the weekend?
Looks like it, yeah. I mean, today a pretty decent day. Looking at sunny skies, highs into the mid-70s. We should be in the upper 70s, so even just slightly below average for this time of the year with sunny skies today. Partly cloudy tonight, overnight lows around about 52. Just a slightly above average, slightly warmer here for tomorrow. More of an average day to start off the weekend. Saturday, a great day. Sunshine high of 79. Looks like 81 here on Sunday. We do have a slight chance for showers and storms coming in by the afternoon hours. We definitely do need the rain chances, but it looks like a slight chance here Sunday afternoon. Otherwise, a blend of clouds and sunshine develops, high around 81. Slightly warmer into the mid-80s once we start out the work week ahead. We'll see sunny skies on Monday, high around 83, and then Tuesday, sunshine, high of 85.
And also, I see today, last few days, we've had the air quality alerts with the smoke from the wildfires of Canada moving in. It looks like that's going away. Are we okay on that front right now?
It looks like it. There may be some areas of kind of light haze in the sky for early this morning, but a lot of that looks like it's pushed out of the area.
And finally, if we're going to have this kind of weather, we do need the rain, but if it's not going to rain, we better take advantage of it, right, for the weekend.
Absolutely. Perfect.
Okay, Jennifer, thanks again for the information. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll catch you on Monday.
Thanks so much. You too.
Absolutely. Again, Jennifer Vucheski from weatherology.com joining us live here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. Right now, as I said, fair skies, 59 degrees is the temperature. Winds are variable at 5 miles per hour. The dew point is 47, relative humidity of 64%. The barometer at 30.01 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Boy, we've had a jam-packed show already. If you missed our first hour with Gwen Jones from New Beginnings for Refugees of Wausau, Paul Micklig as well, talking Wisconsin sports. After I get done with the second hour of the show, I will be loading up each of the 2 hours. It'll be part of the podcast page. By going to bullfallsradio.com, clicking on shows, you'll see logos of all the shows on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be able to click on the logo for my program and then be able to listen to the last hour or any of the hours of this program in recent months. So again, bullfallsradio.com. Also, by getting the Civic Media app, get that Civic Media app, be able to listen to each of the nearly 20 stations in the Civic Media Radio Network around the state of Wisconsin. Also, go to the podcast page and listen to my show. And again, all the other shows, if you miss any of the great lineup of shows on Civic Media, be able to listen to them all on the podcast page on the Civic Media app. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we'll be joined by State Representative Katrina Shanklin, 71st District State Representative Katrina Shanklin, talk about a Hmong education bill that she is shepherding through the state legislature, talk again about some of the votes that have been taken this week and concerning shared revenue and education funding in the new Wisconsin state budget. So that's 71st District Representative Katrina Shanklin coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, don't forget, next week, we got a great week lined up. On Monday, we'll be joined by Marathon County Board Member John Robinson, former Wausau Mayor. He'll be joining us on Monday morning. On Tuesday morning, we will have the director and a couple of the cast members of the upcoming Wausau Community Theater production of Heathers. That's coming next week. We'll have a chance to talk to cast members and the director at 8:30 on Tuesday morning. Then at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, we'll have our monthly visit with the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. So, again, a great way to finish off the week with some terrific guests here today. And we'll have some great guests to start off next week as well, 8 to 10 a.m. Here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We're going to take a quick timeout and then come back and have our next guest, Representative Katrina Shanklin. Always good to talk to Representative Shanklin. She serves Portage County and the Stevens Point area in the Assembly in the state of Wisconsin. So Katrina Shanklin coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Radio 98.9 and 1230 online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Very happy to welcome back to the program 71st Assembly District Representative Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point. And Representative, again, great to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, when I was contacting your office, wanted to bring you on, obviously a lot to talk about. One of the issues that you wanted to speak about, and I found it to be just really great, is an education bill that you're behind, among education bill. And here at this radio station and here in the Wausau community, really been involved with Hmong community. They have a program on every week on Sundays here on this radio station. Could you tell us a little bit about this Hmong education bill you're working on?
Absolutely. So I've actually been a co-sponsor of this bill for the last decade, and in the last 5 or so years, I've been working really hard to make it bipartisan because I do want it to pass. So essentially what this bill will do is it will require in our state's educational standards for K-12 public schools that we have and include instruction regarding Hmong Americans and Asian Americans. I believe that our Hmong American and Asian American community members deserve to have the same representation and level of instruction in our public schools as everyone else does, and Wisconsin is really unique in that we are home to the third largest Hmong population in the United States. We are home to over 200,000 Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders in total. And what we really want to do here in a bipartisan way is uplift our community members' voices and ensure that we fill in the gaps that are in our state's storytelling within our public schools right now.
You said you've been working on this for quite a while. What are the issues that you've come across in terms of trying to ultimately get this bill over the finish line?
I think first and foremost, awareness. Not everyone who serves on the state legislature's education committee was aware of this bill and was aware that we couldn't get a public hearing just because the chair of the education committee in past sessions was not interested. I think secondly, we heard over the years from school boards who are not supportive of mandates. And so what I did was ask my local school board, the Stevens Point Area School District School Board, to pass a resolution in support of it, which they did.
And since then, many other school boards have followed suit. I think recognizing that there are people who are left out of our state's educational standards is really important. And when we're choosing not to tell their stories, that's a value statement. And when I approached school board members who had concerns and really explained that this is not an unfunded mandate, we actually, in many, many cases, schools are already doing this, but this not only shows that we value the voices of our Hmong Americans and Asian Americans, but also provides them an opportunity to tell their stories within the schools and the school districts. And I actually shared my story. I always thought when I was in school that this was part of law because we had a day dedicated to this. We actually had in our gymnasium, we could go around and hear from different people and different stories, and that was just what I assumed was part of the curriculum. When I got into the legislature, I discovered that that was not the case, but it cost $0 to dedicate a few hours of your time within your school day to make sure you're being inclusive and telling everyone's story. And I think knowing that there are folks out there, including educators, who have worked on curriculum specifically regarding this and knowing that those resources exist, this really isn't the kind of unfunded mandate that would concern some legislators of the past.
And obviously, with the situation in terms of your party, as opposed to the Republicans in the state legislature, being bipartisan is vital. How much bipartisan support are you seeing now? Is it something that's been growing as you've been working on this issue over the years? Where do you feel like you stand at this point?
Yeah, so I took over the bill and really worked on making it bipartisan a few sessions ago. And the first person I approached was Representative Patrick Snyder, since he represents the Wausau area, and he agreed to work with me on this. And so we together introduced the bill. And since then, we've worked with both senators and representatives of both parties to build to the co-sponsorship. And I'm really proud to report that this year it is the most bipartisan the bill has ever been. And because I chose to take this on and to make it bipartisan, I feel really proud of our efforts overall. I also want to credit Representative Francesca Hong from the Madison area, who is our first Asian American legislator in the Capitol in Wisconsin. And when she was first elected, I approached her and asked her to take the lead on this with me so that we could not only center her voice, but also organize. And she did an incredible job reaching out to the AAPI community across Wisconsin and bringing in their voices as well. And so the public hearing happened recently in the Capitol. It was incredibly powerful. We heard from people from all over the state who talked about belonging. And I felt their personal stories and how much this bill meant to them was very moving. And legislators from both parties were deeply respectful throughout the hearing. They stayed, they listened, they were attentive. And really the only comments they made were statements of appreciation and gratitude for them sharing their stories. And I think that powerful testimony and that powerful hearing really speaks to how much momentum this bill has received over time. And I'm really proud that bill authors from both parties and both houses have taken this on, and I'm hopeful that this is the year we will see this bill cross the finish line.
And that, and I guess the final point of question I'll ask of you is when you talk about that hearing, when you talk about the respect and the listening that everybody was involved in, the next natural step is, hey, when is it going to be passed? When it will be signed into law? But obviously, it's always much more complicated than that. How confident are you that you are getting close to that finish line?
I am confident that the members of the Assembly Education Committee will be supporting this bill when it does get an executive session, and I'm hopeful that we can get it for a full Assembly vote on the Assembly floor. I want to encourage my colleagues in the Senate to take up the bill and hold a public hearing as well, because I feel very good about where we stand in the Assembly, and we have some great co-sponsors from the Central Wisconsin area and the Senate, too, who can really usher this through the Senate committee as well.
Again, we're talking to 71st State Assembly District Representative Katrina Shankland here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Speaking of education, obviously it's been a very busy week at the state capitol, and the continuing moving through the budget process and different areas of the budget, and the state legislature talking and voting on the public schools funding, the increase for public schools, but also a major increase for the private school voucher program. I know that there is a lot of talk about compromise and the difficulties when you have split government, when you have a governor, Democratic Party, big majorities on the Republican side in both houses of the state legislature. I know there's been a lot of either unhappiness, I guess you could call it, or understanding about some of the issues involved. When you take a look at everything that's gone into this, what's your take on school funding and where we stand and what's happening?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I think I want to credit Governor Evers for sitting down with Republicans and working very hard to negotiate a deal on shared revenue and specifically finding compromise at a time when many people did not think it was going to be possible. I know how important that delivery of results was for communities across Wisconsin who are really struggling right now in terms of shared revenue. Part of that deal was related to education funding, and we were told $1 billion new dollars in public school funding. When Joint Finance, the Budget Committee, took up the DPI budget, what's really interesting about it is so much of that wasn't actually funding in terms of dollars. It was in terms of allowing local communities to raise property taxes to provide public school districts the revenue. And that, to me, is very disappointing because as somebody who not only campaigned on but has been speaking about shared revenue and holding the line on property taxes for at least a full year, I was hopeful that by providing increased shared revenue to our communities and providing $1 billion new dollars in public school funding to our public school districts, that we could actually get away from the over-reliance on property taxes to fund what I believe are core and essential government services, whether it's garbage removal and pickup, whether it's our police, fire, and EMS, or whether for our school districts, it's the instruction of our kids and delivering them with bright opportunities and futures. Those should already be covered by our taxes. So to hear that a near majority of the amount of new public school funding was going to be delivered by the majority of, you know, the members of Joint Finance who are Republican legislators via increases in property taxes was very surprising to me and very disappointing to me. And I'm positive that's not what Governor Evers intended when negotiating the deal, but it is frustrating as somebody who wants to make sure that our seniors and working families can afford to live in their houses and that people can afford to buy houses without having to worry about sudden and major increases in property taxes. And of course, this affects renters as well. So at the end of the day, you know, I was very concerned about how they chose to put together that package of $1 billion new dollars of school funding in Joint Finance. And while I'm excited about the new fund specifically for school-based mental health services, I think that we should have delivered the majority of the new $1 billion for school funds from state aid instead of property taxes.
One more quick question on education, and I'm not sure if it's the best way of putting the question, but can the state of Wisconsin continue to fund two separate school systems indefinitely? Because when you look at the amount of money being put into the public school system, which is much, much needed, but then you add a 33% increase to private high schools as well, it feels as though now this state is funding two different school systems, and perhaps this can be done with a surplus, but there's not always going to be a surplus. What's your take on that? Because there was a very significant increase on the private school voucher side as well.
Well, I would argue that we're not even doing it right now. So if you look at students with special needs, so a kid with an IEP, for example, in private voucher schools or choice schools, they are getting up to 90% of the cost of special education for that one student reimbursed by the state. And there's no cap to that funding from the state. It's called some sufficient. So however much it costs, and that school gets the money. Whereas in a public school where they're required by federal law, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act IDEA, to provide every opportunity to that child and ensure all of their needs are met educationally, they are getting, under this deal, 33% of the cost funded. Mm-hmm. So that kind of shows you the disparity. That reimbursement rate for our special education in Wisconsin has been flat for about a decade, and this deal, the small increase, would certainly be welcome, but knowing that in voucher schools or private choice schools, that 90% of the cost is reimbursed, it shows the disparity right there to me. And it also, I think, does not even regard how under the law they're treated differently. So even if, let's say, we did have unlimited money and we could fund two separate systems, they are certainly not equal. One, the public school system is required to follow all state and federal laws to not discriminate, to ensure that every child has been provided with equal opportunities to succeed and within their education system, right? Mm-hmm. The other can, for example, take a kid out and no longer enroll them in the school. They don't have to follow the same federal laws regarding individuals with disabilities. And there's so much more beyond that, but they're not subject to the same state laws regarding transparency and accountability as well. And I think that's really important when we're having this discussion. So that is why I did not vote for the funding bill on the assembly floor yesterday that did fund, you know, that expansion of vouchers, because I do know that at the end of the day, they are separate and unequal, and they are not being held to the same standards as our public schools. Meanwhile, I'm hearing from school districts that have to go to referendum. And I, again, am concerned about the long-term cost, not only to taxpayers, but to our kids and their futures.
And talking one more question about shared revenue, as part of this bill, and obviously, boy, I saw a quote, I think it was from Senator Larson, talking about when you just need something to eat, you're so hungry, you're going to eat whatever's put in front of you. And the municipalities and communities throughout the state of Wisconsin have been just really fighting to try to get more in terms of shared revenue. And within this bill, there seems to be, I don't know if you call them poison pills or hurdles. What's your take on the general, with all, it used to be, it felt like, where, especially on the Republican side, they would say, well, we want to make sure that the people closest to their communities are able to make the decisions. But within this bill, it appears to be so many mandates, it's basically tying a lot of hands in municipalities. Is that how you see it, or do you see it differently?
Are you talking about the shared revenue bill?
Yeah,
so I would
exactly.
say that that was negotiated among the Milwaukee County Executive, the City of Milwaukee, as well as, you know, county board chairs and others who weighed in over time. And I would say, of course, there are additional mandates for Milwaukee, and that's a tough situation for them. But I know that at the end of the day, they really needed results, and they needed the financial ability to raise additional revenue, which the shared revenue bill did give them through the creation of additional sales tax revenue. So that was certainly a tough situation. I think Governor Evers was tirelessly negotiating on that bill. There were a number of provisions over time through amendments that were taken out and more put in. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I don't think anyone's 100% happy, but most of the stakeholders who were at the table, whether it's our towns, villages, cities, counties, and then, you know, Milwaukee, who's also at the table, would say it needed to be done. That being said, I certainly believe there's a lot more that needs to be fixed, not only within our shared revenue formula to make sure we're fairly funding our more rural communities, but also, you know, when it comes to local control, empowering local communities to do what's best for them.
And I guess finally, as we wrap up our conversation with 71st Assembly District Representative Katrina Shanklin, as we continue along this process, and you mentioned the fact that so much of the dollars, when you talked about the proposed $1 billion for Wisconsin's public schools, and a lot of it has to do with the ability to raise local taxes. When you look at, you know, the large surplus, and when you see those, I would say, on the right trying to, you know, save dollars here and there, and yet we haven't got to the point about some of the thoughts we've heard about tax policy in terms of perhaps either a flat tax or major tax cuts that include the wealthiest of Wisconsin. Should we be fearful that coming down the line here, as this process continues, we'll be a lot of that surplus money going towards what they would call tax reform and maybe others would call tax breaks for the wealthy?
Well, I think any form of tax relief needs to be directed to those who most need it. And I would say, especially with inflation, we've heard from a lot of working families who've been struggling, and seniors, small business owners. And so at the end of the day, there needs to be a fairness component to it. I know in the past we've talked about how tax giveaways to the wealthy is likely a no-go in the legislature with Governor Evers and then with me. And I think at the end of the day, we need to be as fair-minded as possible when delivering tax relief to, I would say, Wisconsin workers and the middle class.
Exactly right. It's all about giving the tools to hardworking people that give them the opportunity to rise socioeconomically. And that's, again, one of the baselines of this state and this country, isn't it?
Absolutely. Exactly. And I think at the end of the day, the majority of people in Wisconsin want government that recognizes their hard work and recognizes that it's already hard enough for a lot of people. Let's make it easier for them. Let's be as fair as possible. And I think that's, you know, how Governor Evers has been negotiating when it comes to the tax situation. And, you know, they haven't voted on that yet. So I'm hopeful that there's still opportunity in this budget for that.
And finally, how long do you think we'll take before we have the final 2-year budget completed?
That's a good question. I think their goal is by the end of June. I know the Joint Finance Committee will be meeting tonight at 6. So, you know, it's possible that by the end of June we will be wrapping things up. And one of the things that they said in the last couple of weeks was they weren't going to move forward with the budget until a shared revenue deal happens. The governor worked with them to get a shared revenue deal, so things are moving along speedily. And I would anticipate maybe in July that the governor would sign or, you know, make his executive action, whether it's partial veto authorities, we'll see what happens. But he will be taking action probably in the next month.
Sounds very good. Representative, best of luck in getting that Hmong education bill moved forward and hopefully into law very, very soon. Always appreciate you spending a few minutes talking about what's going on in Madison, and hopefully we can talk again real soon.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it as well.
Absolutely. Again, 71st Assembly District State Representative Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point. We'll take a timeout. We'll have a news update and then a whole bunch more. I'm Chad Holmes here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Back with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again to State Representative Katrina Shanklin for joining us. Terrific representative for the Central Wisconsin area. Again, she is the 71st District Representative, Portage County, the Stevens Point area. She has been somebody that has been mentioned as a potential candidate for the 3rd Congressional District in the next election in 2024. Currently, the seat being held by the Republican, Derek Van Orden. Talking about budget, again, we last night, again, I had my conversation with Representative Shanklin late yesterday afternoon because she was unavailable this morning but wanted to still talk to her, so we recorded late yesterday afternoon, and she mentioned the fact that the schedule was for the Joint Finance Committee to meet at 6 o'clock, and that was just a couple of hours after we had spoken. The meeting didn't start till late in the evening, and then they voted at like 2 in the morning, some rather, I think, exceptionally disappointing pieces of the budget. They basically gutted child care in Wisconsin in terms of child care counts funding. The governor had put in for funding on that, and they zeroed it out. Also, last night in the overnight hours, GOP lawmakers rejected a proposal by Democrats that would have expanded Medicaid benefits for low-income mothers from 60 days after birth to a full year postpartum. Currently, there is a bipartisan bill to expand the coverage that is supported by a range of lawmakers, including both Republicans and Democrats, who sit on the budget committee. Governor Evers also proposed the expansion as part of his budget. You know why that was stripped away last night by the JFC, Joint Finance Committee? Because Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said this week that he does not support such a proposal. Voss does not oppose the proposal, that bipartisan bill as well. Robin Voss keeps talking about, I mean, I was listening as I was preparing my show today, and I was listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow in my office. And he put on a 2-minute soundbite from Robin Voss talking about his, you know, basically connecting the job shortage with the abortion issue. When it comes to women in this state and trying to lift hardworking women, hardworking Wisconsinites, again, we talk about, again, what can government do? It's not about giving, giving, giving. It's about basically allowing hardworking Wisconsinites to have the tools to live their lives, to support their families. And something such as using the expanded Medicaid benefits to allow low-income mothers a full year rather than 60 days of support. But Robin Voss had this quote that Pat played, talking about how one reason he feels as though his abortion policy is all the people that could have been workers if there was an abortion ban. He says the same thing basically when he talks about the University of Wisconsin system and upper education. Basically, he looks at everything as an opportunity to put people as cogs in the machine to work, 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 work in order to gain wealth for the top 1% of Wisconsinites. Life is more than about just being a cog in an economic machine. Having growth in our economy is important, but it's not, we don't go just to college just in order to become a cog in a machine to aid the owners of said machine. Again, we have to think bigger. I'm going to use this term again, tools. People work hard to support their families. Let's give the tools for them to live a well-rounded life, to be able to keep their family fed, to keep their family sheltered. Look at what is being done. Look at the priorities within a budget. Again, you look at priorities within a budget, then you're able to find out what individual legislators and parties truly believe in. And whenever we hear about Robin Voss, about cutting University of Wisconsin system funding, now saying that his cut is the minimum cut, they're looking for more. Stop using the University of Wisconsin system as a political punching bag, Mr. Voss. And for the Republicans who are members of their caucus, show a spine and stand up to this man. Stand up to what Robin Voss is trying to accomplish with this funding cut. Again, we have a $7 billion budget surplus. And Robin Voss is talking about not allowing the University of Wisconsin system to have any money within that, and in fact, cutting funding because he's upset about diversity. And now, gutting childcare in Wisconsin. Gutting it. Gutting it. I mean, it's crazy. Basically, Dan Schaefer just put out a tweet in the last few minutes from the recombobulation area. Dan Schaefer says, will the business community in Milwaukee and Wisconsin step up and call out their Republican friends today since they just effectively just closed 25% of all child care facilities in Wisconsin? And it's true. You talk about a worker shortage. You're not helping the worker shortage if you're closing down child care centers and not allowing folks to have affordable child care in this state. It makes little sense, to be honest with you. It makes no sense. I don't understand it. Let's focus on what's important. Let's focus on the people of the state. Let's focus on the hardworking people. These people want to work hard and support their families. And Robin Voss and the Republicans are taking away tool after tool after tool when it comes to allowing folks just to live their lives a little bit better. We have to take a quick break. We're going to come back. One more segment to go here on this Friday. Hopefully your Friday is off to a good start. Beautiful start weather-wise. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. It is June the 16th of 2023. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actress Joan Van Ark, probably best known for her starring role on Knots Landing, the Dallas spinoff of the 1980s. Joan Van Ark is 80 years old today. Actor Laurie Metcalf of Roseanne, The Conners, but I remember her most as one of the co-stars of Norm, the Norm McDonald sitcom back from about 20 years ago. Laurie Metcalf is 68 years old today. Golfer, prominent LIV Tour golfer, supporter of the LIV Golf Tour in the Saudi government, Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson turning 53 years old today. Actor Eddie Cibrian of Third Watch is 50. Actor Daniel Brühl of Captain America Civil War and Inglourious Basterds is 45. Broadway actress Ally Stroker is 36. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Some famous events that occurred on this date in history, the 16th of June. On this date in 1891, the George A. Hormel and Company was founded in Austin, Minnesota. In 1937, it introduced Spam, now the world's biggest selling canned meat product. On this date in 1903, the Ford Motor Company was incorporated. Also on that very same date, it was a big day in 1903, a U.S. patent was issued for a soft drink formula called Pepsi Cola. Also on that same day, a U.S. patent was issued for chicken goggles, designed to protect chickens from being pecked in the eyes. On this date in 1967, the three-day Monterey International Pop Music Festival, which catapulted Jimi Hendrix, The Who, and Janis Joplin to stardom, opened in Northern California. On this date in 1987, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar signed a two-year contract with the Los Angeles Lakers for $5 million, making him the highest-paid player in any sport. On this date, 12 years ago, it's hard to believe it's been 12 years. On this date in 2011, New York Representative Anthony Weiner announced his resignation from Congress, bowing to the fear caused by his sexually charged online dalliances with a former porn actress and other women. On this date in 2017, Amazon announced it would buy Whole Foods for $13.7 billion. Some special events being celebrated today. It is Fresh Veggies Day. It is Flip Flop Day. It is Fudge Day. I'm getting hungry. I haven't eaten yet at all. I'm getting hungry now. Fudge, fudge, as Homer Simpson would say. It's Vinegar Day. Also Recess at Work Day. World Sea Turtle Day. Ugliest Dog Day. It is National Day of Prayer for Law Enforcement Officers. And it is Captain Picard Day. Captain Picard Day, celebrated on June 16th, because it is the equivalent date to star date 47457.1, mentioned in the Star Trek The Next Generation episode entitled The Pegasus. So, and I have no idea what that means, to be honest. Does that mean it's his birthday? I'm not sure. But again, happy Captain Picard Day. Well, thanks to our guests here this morning. Again, thanks to Gwendolyn Moore. Except it's Gwendolyn Moore. I'm sorry. Gwendolyn Jones. Gwendolyn Jones, of course, the executive director of New Beginnings for Refugees. Also, thanks to Paul McLeg and also 71st Assembly District Representative Katrina Shankland. Coming up on Monday, we'll be joined in studio by Marathon County Board Member John Robinson. And then on Tuesday, we'll be joined in studio as well by members of the cast and the director of Heathers. It is the Wausau Community Theater production that's coming next weekend to the Grand Theater. And also on Tuesday, we'll be joined for our monthly visit with the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. So we'll start off the week with a couple of great days, Monday and Tuesday, 8 until 10 a.m. And then on Wednesday, we'll be joined to talk about issues and sports and a whole bunch of other stuff by Bob Look as well. So again, next week will be a great week. I'm counting down the days, by the way. Next week, and then a week from tonight, I'll be flying away. I'm heading off on a vacation. It's been a long 10 months since I've had a vacation. So actually, year since I've had a vacation. But the last 10 months, so much high school sports and doing this show every day. I'm ready to take a little bit of a break. We'll take off the week, last week of this month. But one more week. It'll be a great week next week. Hopefully, you can join me from 8 until 10 a.m., each and every weekday. Coming up next, stick around. CBS News at the top of the hour. Civic News update as well. And then As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mantanera. That's coming up from 10 until noon. Have a great weekend. And again, thanks for joining us. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WX.